Our annual picnic's coming up, one of them, next Sunday, noon. The church will be providing food, hot dogs, chicken wings, hamburgers. We'll have a bounce house for the kids. I promoted that. It keeps them occupied. More details on the bulletin board. We'll have a tournament. If you want to see Greg Whitaker, if you're interested in this tournament, you have to see if you're in shape first. Okay, that's enough of that. I'll bring something good to eat. I know you will. I'm going to critique it. All right. Let's proceed where we were last session in verses 18 and following, where we have the amplification of Abraham's faith. Abraham demonstrated phase one faith. That's what's constantly quoted. That's the backdrop. He was a believer, but he went to the next level, the big level, chosen by God, made an offer he couldn't refuse. God made him an offer he couldn't refuse. He was smart. He realized it came from God, and God's way and his life for you, no matter what you can accomplish down here. In human terms, I think what a vanity that all is, and more, all these people seeking this and that, it's all vanity and chasing after the wind. Because it all comes to a dead end. I don't care how big a celebrity, how famous, all the things people achieve. It's just vanity. Yes, it's fine to have a job, raise a family, go on a vacations, acquire some details of life, blah, blah. That's fine. But if you do it under God in His way, then you know that He blessed you if you have temporal blessings. They come in a lot of forms. Abraham did too. He had a lot of temporal blessings. Even though he was a resident alien in a country that wasn't his, couldn't say, this is my land, it's going to be mine someday, way someday. But he was blessed. I think of some of the things in which he was blessed in. I told you the story of his episode when he's under his fear grid. And I understand. It's a drought. And you're raising livestock. And grazing is not real good. And Lot and him have this cattle outfit going on. And probably seeing some die and things of that nature. And so the temptation to go to Egypt, because it wasn't happening down there. And you could go to Egypt because if you're a cattle raiser, they like you. I mean, they don't like sheep raisers. They like people who raise sheep. That's why they had a cow god that they worshipped. Anyway, so Abraham went down there, lied about his relationship to Sarah, and winds up walking out of Egypt, being asked to leave, and being rebuked by an unbeliever. If you ever get rebuked by somebody that's your lesser spiritually, that's just the humiliation of it. They're still saying the truth. It can happen. Anyway, he comes back with a lot more wealth than he had before, and then separates from Lot. He had one military victory. As far as I know, one, because there's only one in the record. He routed the kings of the east, unconventionally, but it's still a victory. They were encamped after they were flush with their sacking the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and all the wealth that they were carrying off. And he took his 318 men and hit them at night with a lot of noise. They panicked. and went running back to where they'd come from and left all of the POWs and all their wealth that they had taken out of these cities. They left it there. And the king of Sodom, who is a POW, he wants to give it all to Abraham. And we'll just take the people and we'll go back about it. We'll start over. Abraham turned that down. He turned it down. That's a lot of wealth there for the taking. And out of the city of what we call Jerusalem today, it was called Salem then, comes this high priest. And he pays tithes to him, this high priest. He gives him a tenth of it, which probably was a big chunk of change. He gives him a tenth. It was okay for him to take a tenth of it. But for Abraham, no. Abraham exercised faith and said, I won't take a sandal strap from you. We'd say a shoelace. No thanks. Pay my men what they have coming. And we'll go on with it. So he had a military victory. Of course, the spiritual... Oh, and by as a result of the routing of the kings of the east, he was known in the land. Well, you got these guy raising cattle that came from so-and-so, and they're this and that. Kind of interesting, you know. But when he routed those kings of the east, he became a household name. He said he freed us from any problems with these people. So he became, his name got in lights as a result of just doing an unselfish deed, delivering Lot. The whole operation was to deliver Lot, his reversionistic nephew, who he'd done all this for, whose God was money. That's Lot. Anyway, at the end of his life, he died wealthy. But the important thing is his spiritual wealth. And here we're dealing with this episode in his life where he exercised faith rest in hope and against hope. he and his wife faced a hopeless situation. The situation was that the promise was that God would provide the next generation, and yet Abraham and Sarah were incapable of producing a child at their condition and age. Abraham was promised that his seed would be as numerous as the stars of heaven, point 14 on page 16. In Genesis 15:5. Now this might seem outrageous to some of us, but it isn't over yet. We're still adding to the number, and we've got the trib to go, we've got the millennium to go, and if I'm right, and I believe that I am, babies born to people on the new earth, while they don't have, the babies won't have to be saved. They won't have to make the salvation adjustment. The reason is because they won't be born with a sin nature. Sin nature will be eradicated on the new earth. It'll start up on it and then it'll be knocked out. It takes a while to sit about and think about this. I got a little bit of flack on that one because they want everybody on the new earth to have a resurrection body like Christ and like believers. They will have... If Adam and Eve hadn't sinned, they would have had a natural body and would have lived on and on and on, barring an accident. Okay? Barring an accident that would kill you, Adam and Eve would have lived forever in their natural bodies, but they got that aging gene and that sin nature gene. Those two genes, and what was it from? Well, the eating of a certain fruit. What? Yes. We're reading in the news today, they're wanting to change people's DNA, alter it with a vaccine. Do some reading and research. You want to do it? Fine, but I ain't doing it. This is the perfect deal for setting up the mark of the beast. They're calling this thing how to put these nanoparticles in people through a syringe, through a needle. These people are evil. And now I'm figuring where it turns people into zombies. I never could figure out why God would not let someone get saved that took a stupid mark of the beast. It's something more than that. It's something more, because a tattoo isn't going to cut it. You can get the dumbest tattoos all over you, and or evil ones, and you still can get saved. Please. It wouldn't make any sense. It messes people up in this respect. All right, back to this. Genesis 15:5. And this will go back to his victory. He has his victory over the kings of the east. He gets his, see, and he's occupied with this whole plan of God that he's in, and obviously it's come down on him really heavy about having the next generation, a child, an heir of his own. Almost looks like he's under a curse. He is not. God's setting him up, and God does things first class. So he's going to demonstrate in the second generation, I'm running this show, and I'm advancing my plan. And if you want to get on board with it and enjoy it and prosper under it, you've got to pay the price like Abraham did, to whatever extent that is involved. Some people around here were not willing to pay the ultimate price. Get smart. You do not know what tomorrow will bring with regard to people's volition. Because they've been on doctrine for 40 years or whatever, does not mean they can't flip and go belly up in the proverbial fish tank. They didn't have their armor on, they weren't listening, and they wanted something else when push came to shove. See it over and over. No, I don't hate them. I hate what they did. You can see a difference there. I hate what I do sometimes. And I don't hate me. We're going to get to that in Romans if we're still here. Right after the victory over the kings, Abraham is sitting around thinking about what he just did. And he's under fear. Genesis 15:1. He's sitting there, and this comes to him in a vision. Stop being afraid, Abram. I am a shield to you. I got your back. That has to do with him thinking he could be the object of retaliation from the kings of the east. I'm taking care of that. I got it covered. And the second thing, your reward shall be very great. You just turned down, today we would say it was millions and millions and millions of dollars of real wealth. They just sacked these cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. These were wealthy, wealthy cities. They grabbed all the goodies they could get their mitts on that were of any value. Money, jewelry, whatever. I'm your reward. Remember that as a believer in Jesus Christ. The Lord is your protection, and He's your reward. And He can beat anything the cosmos could dump in your lap. Now, Abram is also occupied with this next generation thing. O Lord God, what will you give me, since I am childless? And the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. What? Now here's a breakdown. Here's another example of a breakdown. We deal with the good and the bad of the believers. But we're dealing with the good believers so we can deal with when they stumble. What word did you... If it was going to be Eliezer, your trusted servant. And he's a real good guy. I mean, a real reliable guy. If you ever had one around you like that, you got somebody. They got you. They're there for you no matter what. When Abraham sends Eliezer back to his relatives to get a wife for Isaac, this is down the road, he could trust him. He knew his manipulative family. And they got a way to be manipulative. It's the devil in the works. You know that. Eliezer isn't going to be fazed by it. He's single-minded. I'm here. I'm on a mission. I'm here to find a compliant, qualified female, sight unseen, and I'm going to escort her back to Isaac. I do that for Abraham. One man show. I'm going to go up there and make the offer. I got the dowry. I got everything I need. You could trust this guy with your life. He'd never let you down. A lot of people have a lot of good words. Oh, I'm going to be there to the end. I hope you are. I really do. But I've heard all the big talk. And I believe they were sincere when they said it. But they fell by the wayside. Oh, they're okay. Yeah, right on. You can't reject. When you reject God's word and you reject His spiritual leadership He's put in front of you, what do you think you are? Yeah, you can rebound it, recover, but that isn't happening. Then the Lord entered His deal. This man, this is how you slam the door. God to Abraham. This man will not be your heir. So what, did him and Sarah sit around and say, hey, we can do the Eliezer. I could do Eliezer. You like him. He's okay, right? So why didn't somebody pipe up and say, why don't we just let God tell us? He's running the show here, and if He wants Eliezer, He'll tell us. But no offense to Eliezer, but that's a second class way to go. God's plan is first class. And what's first class? Abraham and Sarah, His right woman. She's not just a disposable over here. Come on. God's plan is first class. Now, nothing could be clearer. This man will not be your heir, but one who will come forth from your own body. He shall be your heir. Now, I got a chuckle on this one. Because obviously he would relay any vision and information he had to Sarah instantly and give all the details of what happened today during the vision I had with Yahweh. Here, honey, here it is. Take notes. And she's all ears. She's into this too. She's not just, okay, he's my wife, husband, and he's got this idea, and I'm going to follow him. No. Ladies, if you pan out, you're going to be in an exclusive club. It's called Sarah's Daughters. No, you don't have to be married. You can be single. And you don't have to have a positive husband either to get in this club. You just have to be like Sarah was. Peter talks about it, calls them Sarah's daughters. As someone joked one time, not like Sarah's sister, Beulah the bitch. Well, she didn't have a sister by that name. Sorry about that. Vibrate if you want to. No, she wasn't. But Sarah had to grow up too. She had to grow up too, and she did. She was into this. 100%. So they would have talked. And so he gets to relate to her that this one's going to come from your own body. And this is where he took him outside, showed him the stars of heaven, and said, can you count these? Well, of course you can't. On a clear, clear night, if you are able to count them, and he said, so shall your descendants be. Is God given over to exaggeration here? I mean, is this just nice talk? God isn't into nice talk. He's into precise, specific talk. And it's about truth. Abraham's descendants continue to be added to the list. We have the whole course of the rest of the Jewish dispensation, the whole church age, trib, millennium, and beyond. Your descendants fall into two categories, racial, spiritual, and just spiritual, but not racial, like the Gentiles. And he believed in the Lord, and he reckoned it to him, or credited it to him, as righteousness. Now this isn't when he, that'd be so stupid, this isn't when he got saved. His initial imputation of plus R was back in the day. But he believed again. It'd be like me getting up here and giving the gospel, and you've heard it thousands of times, and you believe it again. You already got the benefit, you just believed, you heard it again. Oh, and this is where it gets funny. After this whole episode, and it goes all the way, and he gives him he expands on the original promise of real estate. And says, I'm going to tell you how big the territory is that I'm giving you and your descendants, called the Holy Land. And that's over. He tells Sarah all this. Sarah says, okay, he said it will come from your own body. Now, Abraham in chapter 15 is not sexually dead. Because in chapter 16, he has relations with one Hagar, and she gets pregnant, boom. But that was Sarah's idea. Sarah was so gung-ho about this promise and getting a descendant that she was willing to sacrifice and go through this, knowing that Abraham was spending the night with her maid. She was willing, I'll call it the martyr complex. I'm willing to sacrifice myself for this plan. And this is what's stupid about us sometimes as believers. She should have just said, well, it's not working with me. God's going to have to make it work. And we're going to have to faith rest that, and we're just going to wait. We will put God on the spot. Let Him tell us. It's His plan. He's got to uphold it. So He's got to make this work. Let's just go about our business. But no, she brings Hagar, the Egyptian, into the picture. A servant girl. Hagar was to Sarah what Eliezer was to Abraham. She needed chores done. She needed this done. Hagar, boom, boom. Well, she gets pregnant. And here comes the Arabs. The Arab world, in the person of Ishmael. So when the sexual death thing hits, Abraham plays another card. We'll make it Ishmael. But by that time, the situation was completely dire and hopeless with regard to Abraham and Sarah. So that's kind of the context here. See, there's a bunch of time between 15 and when we get down to 17 and 18. There's a bunch of time. Ishmael has to grow up and be a 13-year-old boy. So you can kind of do the math. So we start with 17. This is when Abraham was 99. And at that point, the only child he had that he could say was he was the father of. And he loved the boy, Ishmael. He didn't despise him. He had affection for him. Sarah didn't. She didn't have any affection for him at all. She just gritted her teeth. STAs are at play. Hagar is pregnant. Sarah isn't. Women throughout his organization have gotten pregnant and have little kiddos. And Hagar God under her sin nature. How'd she do it? She got proud over Sarah. Probably walked around and rubbed her stomach. Oh, I mean it. And Sarah got under her STA and gave her so many chores it wasn't funny. So there's all this going on. You know, it's the old Fundy group. I guess it's still around. Focus on the family. The real world of STAs. Now she can feel superior. But it was Sarah's suggestion. And the two of them went along with it. A married woman giving her husband the green light to sleep with another woman. So we can help God out. He wants us to... I understand how the mentality. God expects us to use our minds. Yeah, couple that with your STA and see what you wind up with. God expects us to... Well, you wouldn't want to say help him. But he expects us to use our minds. Yeah, his whole plan is going to collapse and all of his promises are going to go down the drain if we don't do this. Please. We do not serve a God who does not uphold his word against all odds and all comers. So they should have faith rested it, but they didn't. But God works in strange ways. He wanted the Ishmaelites, called Arabs, on the earth. He did. He could have frustrated the whole thing with Sarah, with Abraham and Hagar. I told you the funny, didn't I? I'll tell you it again. I'm driving on the interstate in Israel through a city, big city, and I just looked up. Then you have billboards. You know, they had McDonald's in Hebrew. With the arch, but no cheeseburgers, just. But I look over and I see this. A rent-a-car place, advertising rent-a-cars. Hagar rent-a-car. It was out there. Jews have a sense of humor, I swear. It was Hagar rent-a-car, and it was right there in Israel. Abraham's next wife after Sarah died was Keturah. And I was driving down the Dead Sea area, and there was a sign. All I had was an arrow. And it was like, it wasn't some neat, nifty little sign. It was just an arrow pointing out into Nowheresville, and it said Keturah. But that's a hot spot to visit. We didn't go there. All right, I'll let you go, and see you Tuesday night. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. Continue to build us up in the faith. And to emulate these believers in Jesus' name, amen.